Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Rob, Pete, and Davey work their way through the Tuesday and Wednesday slates from top to bottom. DFS plays, totals, best bets. Let the boys line your pockets. It's the Tuesday edition.
What's going on, everybody? Jensen Reese and Davey Satriano around the round table talking fantasy pucks and Thanksgiving Eve special big game slate, buddies.
Well, we got three tonight, Davey, so where are you throwing the scratch?
I'm throwing the scratch first. Boston-Montreal, it's one of the oldest rivalries. I don't know about you guys. I think Montreal's going to end that losing streak. That was a tough loss to the Rangers. Well, they were up 4-0, 5-3, whatever it was, and they lost. I think they're going to win at home to the Bruins.
Well, you're reading off my note sheet that I gave you this morning because I also have the Habs winning, and here I have Shea Weber scoring the GWG. He has 13 points in 19 career games against the Bruins.
I mean, from this game, just I don't even need to look at the rest of the slate. I already have my centers determined for the game. I have David Krejci because Bergeron's out for at least the next two games, and I have Nick Suzuki, who's been tearing it up on the power play, ripping it up, guys.
Davey, I like where your head's at for that game. Does the Bergeron situation and what? Okay, here's one other thing too. I read this tweet. It was a funny tweet. Is Patrice Bergeron the worst player on the line? And the answer to that is probably, in a way, yes. Skill-wise, but it's a good problem to have when he's the worst player on the line. That being said, he's out for the next two games. Are you worried about his health moving forward?
I'm not worried about his health because it's never really been an issue. And last year, what did he have? He's not a point per game, but I think he had the most goals and points that he's had. So I'm not worried about him. But Jake DeBrusk, you and I were talking about this earlier. He's a guy that he's very streaky, but right now he's kind of in one of those hot streaks. So he might be good in the interim.
Yeah, that's sickening to me that anyone would ever put the word worst and Patrice Bergeron in the same sentence. I don't know if that was you, Rob, or someone else on the Twitterverse, but yeah, he's not bad at anything. And when he's healthy, he's one of the top five centers in the game, and mark my words on that.
Another hot take from Peter J. early on the Tuesday slate here.
You guys were speechless. You didn't even say anything when I said that one. It's like, you've been watching Patrice Bergeron? Is that arguable thing?
I was just saying someone on Twitter tweeted that. I wasn't saying I tweeted that. So anyway, moving ahead.
I said Twitterverse. So
moving ahead here. Just something to talk about. Nothing to get upset about here early. But other notes on this slate. New Jersey starting Louis Domingue, Davey. Cool storyline there. After Mackenzie Blackwood was a popular ad the past 2 weeks here, Louis Domingue got his first swing as the Devil. What's the pulse there?
I'm looking at the Devils tonight. We know the Wild. Pete and I were there last night. We saw them. They played, emotional game. Rangers, they lost in overtime. Interestingly enough, starting in Minnesota in goal, Kaapo Kähkönen today. I was hoping he would get in yesterday. We could have seen Kaapo Kähkönen. But first NHL start for the guy. They played last night, so I'm rolling with the Devils.
Cool.
I don't think the Devils win this game, even though it's a back-to-back. I liked what I saw from the Wild. I like their sneaky appeal almost every night. And I think that the Devils are in a predicament right now. And, if you look at coaches around the league, John Hines has to be near the top of the list, guys. I know we've mentioned him before, but this thing isn't coming to an end.
He's definitely up there, but I think the Devils do kind of stay hot at home here. Minnesota's in a tough road trip, and to blow the game late in the third period, I think they might be a little flat tonight. I think the New Jersey Devils and Taylor Hall come through here.
I have a question for Davey. So if you're choosing right now based on what you've seen, I know you watch the Devils a lot, would you rather have Jack Hughes or Nico Hischier for the rest of the season? I know that was a preseason question we had. I'm curious your thoughts on that center comparison.
I'd probably rather have Jack Hughes just because I feel like there's more upside with him. I know Nico has been playing more with Hall and Palmieri, but they've been switching them around. But Hughes, he's been coming around lately, and I think as the season goes on, he'll be the better guy to have.
Hughesy. I like that nickname.
Yuzi. What, did you have a couple cocktails with Jack?
No.
Yuzi, okay.
So now we're, nickname basis with Yuzi there. And then Dallas taking on Chicago. Can the home team sweep tonight? Dallas played a nice effort last night, but Chicago definitely has some appeal at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dallas is absolutely rolling right now. They have everybody back. Klingberg's got 4 assists in his 2 games since coming back. Hintz is back. The whole band is back together. I can't pick against Dallas right now based on what I've seen past 15 games.
I think this is going to be an under game, but I think Dallas wins. And also, they've they've won seven in a row. If they win tonight, that's the most wins ever in a row, eight that they've had. So that's something interesting, too, with how well they've been playing and how long they've been around, eight wins.
And I will have to say, Davey, good credit to you. I played a late-game contest last night. Every single one of my picks on the show scored a goal. And so only in three games on a late-game slate, that is how you can cash out big time.
Can we give Robbie a brim tip on the Radulov pick?
Hell yeah. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Rado scored. Getzlav had a big game last night. Nice little Ducks victory, but... moving back to this Chicago game, I do see a little bit of home appeal here for the Hawks. I'd be curious if Dallas is a road favorite, though, because they are hot. If that's the case, I would take a home dog pick just because I feel a little bit more comfortable about that. But if Chicago's favorite, I wouldn't touch the game.
Look at all these like high-powered offenses that the Stars have stifled lately. You got the Vegas one the other day. Chicago, they played recently, 2-1 win. Winnipeg, Vancouver. The Drysdale McDavid won. They even won that game. It was high scoring, 5-4. So they've played every which way, but they love playing low scoring. I think they shut down the Hawks offense again.
That's what I like about the Dallas Stars is that they play that playoff brand of hockey, but they could also switch it and play the high scoring brand of hockey.
Right.
And I think that bodes well as we get into April and down the stretch where you have to – they have that ability to lock down with the goaltenders if they need to. But, hey, if it starts getting up and down, they can do that also.
Teams that win multiple ways win championships, no doubt about it. I got a question on Twitter from TDRO_TV. Who's a better pick, Brian Rust or Dylan Strome rest of season? I responded with Brian Rust. Do you disagree, Davey?
I do disagree because we don't know how he's going to be a factor when, you know, Crosby comes back or these injured guys. But Strome, he's been one of the, I think, most underrated players this year. Both of the Stromes, even the one on the Rangers. But Chicago, he had like 10 points in 16 games. Kind of cooled off a little bit. But I would say he's a guy that can benefit from who he plays with. And as far as Rust, it's, you know, he's hot right now. But can this last? I don't really see it lasting for him.
I like Dylan Strome out of those two. Rust is right up there with like McCann. They're really good streaming options right now for Pittsburgh, who won again against Calgary on Monday. But, yeah, I have a follow-up question to that. Do you guys like Dylan Strome or Jonathan Toews more out of Blackhawks centers for the rest of the season?
I'd rather drop either or both and have a streamer. I think that the streamer option when you are riding a hot hand like McCann or Russ, and credit to Jim Rutherford for really sticking to his guns, because that team is good regardless of their major injuries this year. And McCann had 9 shots on goal against the Flames. He had a goal in 9 shots.
Nice.
That is, you can't be a bad player in the league and get 9 shots by accident. So I really think, to answer that question, I wouldn't mind parting with either one of those guys and just riding a streamer.
Yeah, I think Toews is, you know, he's struggling. This is a year I'd say if I had to choose between those two guys, I would take Strome personally.
I would too. And so the Penguins, back to them, they face the Canucks on this Wednesday slate, and it's a big one. Are you looking at any of those streaming options for this slate? There's also Tanner Pearson, who's playing on the top line lately with Pettersson and Besser. I think there's some good streaming appeal there.
Yeah, I think I definitely look into those guys, especially for the daily slate, because – as you know, happened with St. Louis when I think Sammy Blaze was like playing on the top line. They're $3,500. It's kind of hard to go against someone who's playing on the top line with those players. So Pearson's definitely someone to look for.
I wasn't looking at a ton of value in this game because Vancouver's been playing a lot of low-scoring hockey lately. And until they kind of get done with this little road trip on the East Coast here, I think I would pass on DFS value in this game. I would say, though, Carolina facing New York Rangers on Wednesday is definitely my lock of the night for over in that game.
And Mika Zibanejad could come back, which is one of the bigger injury returns of the young season so far. And I was looking this morning at their power play mix because they have some nice power play chemistry right now, whether it's Chris Kreider, Kako, and Panarin play really well together on opposite sides of the power play. So who comes out of that mix? Is it Ryan Strome to make room for Zibanejad? Because you know Zibanejad has to be on that top unit.
I think it would probably be Strome. I mean, you can't take Panarin out of there. So who else? Kreider's always the guy in front of the net on the power play. So really, who else is there?
I know it's just hard because Strom has been
playing
so well. And like when you even watch them play, like he is such a noticeable player on every single shift. It's hard to yank a guy like that off the power play. I would almost say if Kreider didn't have that role of like the kind of physical presence in front of the net, there's no way that Strom's coming off.
And I'll be honest with myself. The first time that Ryan Strom came up on this show this season in a top six role, like we kind of like scoffed at it like it was a joke that they didn't have enough depth to have a better player than him. But to be honest, I've flip-flopped on him. I have him in like two of my leagues. I have him in my main points league. And like this week, the Rangers had four games and I started Strom over Evgeny Dadonov, who only has two games. So that really speaks volumes of how much we flip-flopped on him.
And sticking with the Panthers, they face the Washington Capitals on Wednesday for their first game this week. And I did the same thing as you did. I actually sat Barkov this week just because of the two games. And Yandel, it was hard to do that. But when you have streamer options that play four games in a week, I always like to play the number of games, really.
Yeah, we all know that. That's how I am. I have Jonathan Huberdeau. I think I said that right. And I had to bench him because he only had two games. But I'm looking at that game. I'm taking Brett Conley as points in 5 of 6 games. He's leading the Panthers in goals. Wow. Who would have thought? He's leading them. 11 goals. Tops on the team. He seems that he's been getting a point every game now. He's playing well. He's still cheap. So I'll take him against the Caps.
And don't forget, he was fantasy relevant last year, too. He was a North 20-goal guy, and he was a top 6 pick in the NHL draft in his draft year. I think it was 2007 or 8. So he can play, and if he keeps this up, he keeps the top 6 role going. I mean, this could be a 30-goal season for him. It wouldn't surprise me, though, to see like if Mike Hoffman really gets going and kind of takes that scoring away from Connolly or one of those more lethal guys. But I would say stream this guy while you can.
Do you guys worry about the Capitals against the Panthers without Nicholas Backstrom if he is out again for Washington?
I think the Capitals are going to win, but I think it's going to be a close one. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if Florida won, but I just think Washington's, even without Backstrom, they have the depth, so they can overcome.
My lineup lock on Wednesday is actually Ovi. He has 3 points in his past 8 games, but he's still a point-per-game player this year. He has 15 goals on the season and only 2 in the past 8. He's still on pace for 50 goals. Don't be surprised if he has a hat-trick on Wednesday.
Yeah, and it pained me to get him out of the top 5 because he's always a fixture there. But like guys like McKinnon and Patrick Kane have been just so good that we went with the trend there. But don't be surprised if Ovi gets a Hattie and then ends up being number 2 next week in our rankings.
To keep the theme of over-unders going, Philadelphia visiting Columbus. I like the under in that game. Both teams have had a little trouble putting the puck in the net lately. Columbus seems like they're just averaging north of 2 goals a game, which is, you know, it's pretty low. And then Philly, they're juggling their lines pretty much each and every shift out there. So I'm not sure that they're really finding the offensive the chemistry that they're going for.
They found a good little combination in their last game, though, with Voracek and Couturier. I think Voracek's the type of guy that can't be playing on the third line anymore. I know they do that sometimes, third line, first power play. But second line with Couturier will get the most out of each of those players. I like that for Philly's success moving forward.
I agree with you, Rob. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, so I'm not going to have any skaters, but I would probably take a flyer on Carter Hart or Brian Elliott, who's ever in net for Philly, because I think they're going to win and allow 1 goal or 2 goals, and that's it.
And I have a Twitter question for you, Davey. I got asked this morning, would you rather have Brian Elliott or UC Soros? I'll let you answer that.
If this is for the rest of the season, I'm going Soros just because he's played – Rene's, you know, he's never gets hurt. He plays a lot of games, but he's been struggling. You know, they want to get Soros in there, and he's played 20 games before, so I would definitely rather have him. Carter Hart's a guy the Flyers are going to, you know, they want him to play more, so Elliott's probably an experienced veteran backup. We'll get him when he can, but Soros, I think, is the better add there.
I'm no expert, but that seems like a pretty simple answer to that question. And Soros all the way, right? I mean, how could it be Brian Elliott?
Yeah, Soros just beat the Blues twice on the home and home, which is something that was, I mean, I liked him. I picked him on the network for Tuesday, but it was kind of like hoping he would start to run away with this thing. It was far from a sure thing, but he got the job done in the shootout. And yeah, UC Soros has that like ceiling that we've been talking about for years, and that's why you have to have a short memory. Like, he's always been the backup to Rene, but you never know when he could take that full step forward and never look back.
I also feel like we've been talking about Rene losing the starting job for the last 2 or 3 years, and he always seems to bounce back and right the ship. I would expect that, the pedigree this year, but you know what? They have a serviceable backup if they need to go to him, and I just don't see Rene losing the starting job completely.
a game I'm really looking forward to watching on Wednesday. Edmonton against Colorado. Two of the best, if not the best, players in the game going head-to-head. Where are we going in DFS, boys?
This is a tough one. I mean, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is banged up. We don't know. Probably not Rantanen for this game. It sounds like maybe over the weekend he could return for Colorado, which will be an enormous lift to a team that has somehow found a way to survive this stretch without a couple of their best players. I lean towards the Avalanche here. The Oilers, this is a key game for the Oilers because the Oilers are leading the Western Conference, and it's like, how do they go into the Thanksgiving break? Because that's always an indicator of whether or not a team makes the playoffs when it's all said and done. Like, if the Avalanche smoked them, I think it could really start a downward trend for Edmonton.
I am not going to be choosing any players in this game because it's a Davey watch game. Mm-hmm. I like it. But also, I think I'm going to try a new strategy instead of going with a stack of McKinnon and McDavid, Draisaitl, or McKinnon. I think we'll put the money elsewhere. We'll see what happens. A lot of games, so.
I'm blown away by the minutes that McDavid and Draisaitl are logging. I mean, almost unprecedented. And you have to wonder, is this pace going to be able to be maintained throughout the season and into the playoffs? I mean, these minutes that they're logging, it's incredible. I mean, 29, 30 minutes a game. It's outrageous.
Draisaitl literally played 29 minutes in their last game, which for a forward, I just don't see that leading to success long term. I see that short term brilliance. And for DFS, I mean, come on. If a forward's playing 29 minutes, you're not going to have him in your lineup.
If you look at, like, most valuable player to his team, we were saying, like, McKinnon has a good case. But, like, at least the guys are coming back soon, at least Rantanen and, like, Grubauer's back. Like, this is the Edmonton Oilers. They're fully healthy. Their roster is not going to change very much. So you're going to beat these guys down. If one of them gets injured, they're going to miss the playoffs. There's no other way to slice it. They don't have any depth.
Yeah, you're exactly right. If one of those two guys goes down, Edmonton plummets down the standings. There's no two ways about it.
And one potentially significant injury on this slate is Anthony Mantha. We don't know if he's going to play. He got injured in the last game. The Red Wings host the Maple Leafs, who have been so far so good. Robbie, you riding the train of the Maple Leafs in this game in Detroit?
Definitely. I don't even have much interest in this game, to be honest. I mean, you know, I wouldn't hammer cash on Toronto. The only reason why, you know, they've been playing well, but sometimes there's a little ebb and flow when a coach takes over. So I enjoy watching them lately with Sheldon Keefe behind the bench, Chief Keefe. But I wouldn't throw cash on this game. No thanks.
This is my upset special of the night. I'm taking the Red Wings in the Mike Babcock Bowl. Can we call it that?
No, we're done with that. No more Mike Babcock talk.
I think Detroit's going to win this. I really do. I just have a hunch, so I'm going with that one tonight.
Who do you think takes over if Mantha doesn't play on the top line? Is it Fabry? Is it somebody else?
I would lean towards Fabry just because he's got the experience. He played. You know, he plays all line. When he was in St. Louis, he jumps around. He can do that. I'm not sure what they're going to do, but I would take him. He's going to be pretty cheap, even if he sticks where he is. But, yeah, if Mantha can't go, a little tougher, but I still think Detroit's going to win this one.
I don't think it matters too much, honestly. That's such a sleeper team that, you know, you're not going to – I don't think that's going to win you your fantasy championship. Maybe it'll win you a DFS contest for a game, but I wouldn't put too much stock into that moving forward.
Do you guys like Ilya Mikheyev on the top line with Tavares and Kapanen?
No, another trend that I just – he's a good player, but, you know, that's Zach Hyman. He played 20 minutes the other night. You know, I'm not I've always been this way. I'm not a game-to-game line guy because they change so often.
Well, you know, they did under Babcock. I don't know how, you know, Chief Keefe's going to do. If he's going to keep them together for a while or what. But Mikhailo's been playing well, so maybe it's worth it against Detroit.
If you don't have one of their top guys, you're not doing anything in fantasy. Let's face facts here. New York Islanders play L.A. Kings on Wednesday. I was a little kind of rubbed the wrong way, I think, by Barry Trotz's comments after the Ducks game last night. I mean, he totally ripped into the team. For what? I mean, this is one of the best teams in the league. They lost a game on the road in Anaheim. It's just, to me, I get where he's coming from. He wants to instill that culture, but, like, don't rub the guys the wrong way.
Somehow I was up for that press conference, and, you know, the famous line that he's made famous is, there are too many passengers. And then, you know, I've been patient with some players. I didn't get it either. You know, just listen, they're out in L.A. They lost a game, the first one since, what, October 11th?
Yeah.
Just, move on to the next one.
Right. Forget about it. Move on. L.A., you're playing L.A. next. Great opportunity for a W.
But again, who am I and who are you to question nobody's. Barry Trotz, the master motivator, and he's done so many great things. It just was puzzling to me also. I was scratching my head.
I mean, I like it. I think that this team can avoid another letdown in their next game, they can they could stay in the contention for the division. It's that type of thing where they could fall into a 5-game losing streak and like negate a lot of what they accomplished the past couple of months.
I also think he wants to keep that sense of urgency considering how well Carolina is playing and how good we've seen Pittsburgh be. So maybe it's just let's keep him on the ball and let's not just give them a pass when they lose. But I was surprised by the comments, I'll admit it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know coaches, you know, they always say, oh, we're looking forward to the next game. But he actually really means it. The guy, you couldn't tell that they've had points in 17 straight games. He's about here now. So, he says what he says to get them ready for the next game. But to paraphrase Patrick Waugh, Barry Trotz probably can't hear all the criticizers because he has two Jack Adams awards mm-hmm. plugged in his ears. So
and a cup ring.
He doesn't get a cup ring. So he doesn't care.
And he has a special talent moving those eyebrows around on the bench, serving
insane.
The game. He makes those
How
eyebrows
does he do
dance.
That?
He makes them dance. And I try to do it in front of the mirror, try to do the old Barry Trotz. It doesn't work.
And then the last game on the slate, Winnipeg-San Jose. Should be an interesting tilt there. Both teams, I mean, Connor Hellebuck, holy smokes, he's been playing great this year. And then the Sharks are on fire. They're winning tight games, too, which is a good sign for them.
Yeah, they continue to blow leads, though, which scares me. I think they'll win this game. I mean, they're over NHL 500, which is a gigantic accomplishment considering where they were at the beginning of November. I mean, let's be honest. So it was good to see Erik Karlsson get a multi-point game. Josh Morrissey is banged up for Winnipeg. So that hurts their cause a little bit. I like the Sharks here at home to close out before the holiday.
I like the Sharks too, but Pete, I'm just wondering, Blake Wheeler was a guy that came up as someone who was, you know, the most disappointed. What are you guys feeling about how his season? Can he turn it around?
I mean, I think there's a chance to, yeah, even if he's on the second line away from Scheifele. I think that's a good combination. I just worry about, can Hellebuck keep this up? Can the defense keep this up? It was an accomplishment to do this a quarter of a way through the season. Once you hit the three-quarter mark, I see the Jets being out of the playoff picture. But Wheeler's a nice buy-low candidate for sure, I think.
After hitting 91 points in two consecutive seasons, he's not doing that this year. It could be below 70 even, and he's a dash nine right now. I don't think there's much appeal there.
Two other games to get to before we wrap up. Blues at Lightning. Cirelli, another point. We've seen those couple of value guys really producing lately. A three-point game from Andre Palat. Who do you like the most out of those three, like Cirelli, Killorn, or Palat moving forward?
Pete and I, we were kind of talking about this yesterday, but Robin this morning, and I said, Andre Palat, is he finally back to where he was? You know, he's got a couple points, but we also don't know what the deal with Stamkos is, you know, how long he'll be out. Hopefully not long, but Palat's the guy there that I would say tomorrow especially can benefit, or Wednesday.
It's just like Groundhog Day. We had this dialogue on the program yesterday, too. Killorn gets hot three times a year. I think Palat's the safest guy out of the mix, but I'm looking at St. Louis in this game. Braden Schenn's a player that I've talked a lot about in fantasy this year. After he signs a big-time deal and still produces the way he is, the best of his career, really remarkable.
Yeah, Schenn's for real, no doubt. Robert Thomas has been chipping in. Even though he's playing on the third line, I'm really interested to see if they continue to lose, if they give him an elevated role, which I think he deserves. He's been piling up assists lately for the Blues.
Yeah, I think he'll be in the top six before too long, so...
And then one other nice game on the slate, Golden Knights at Predators. Golden Knights are 500, I guess you would say, 11-11-4. A little underachieving as we get to Thanksgiving. You think those guys turn it around soon?
I think they will, but it's very weird to see. This is kind of the first time in three seasons we've seen this out of them. They've lost, I think, 10 of 13 or something like that, and they just haven't really looked good. Fleury's, kept them in some games, but the defense hasn't been there. Their guys aren't. The top two lines aren't what we've seen, so I think they'll win tomorrow, Wednesday, but it's very strange to see this.
Well, I think it's a tough spot for Nashville, because if they go back to Saros, and William Karlsson lights the lamp, Patrick Reddy lights the lamp, Marchessault lights the lamp, let's say they put up a 4 or 5 spot on him, what do they do then? Go back to Rene and then everyone forgets about Saros?
Yeah, that's a tough spot for sure. It was good to see Stasny score a goal. I saw he scored a goal on the line with usual spot with Pacioretty and Stone. But it hasn't been a usual spot. They've been playing like Cody Eakin there. I think they need to just get back to their bread and butter with Stasny in the top six.
All right, before we wrap up real quick, just rattle off some DFS targets for Wednesday for the listeners. Start with Peter.
I like Sorelli for cheap center. I will continue to go back to the well with him. I like Teuvo Teravainen for the Hurricanes at the Rangers. I think the Rangers are prone to giving up a ton of goals any given night, and Teravainen's been extremely consistent. Chris Letang is back for the Penguins. I see him getting involved against the Canucks. Penguins playing really well, given all their injuries, 13-7-4. And then goalie of the night, I'll go Grubauer against the Oilers. I think he'll get the win. I think I'd probably take the over in that game, but I still think Grubauer is a viable DFS option.
Robert?
For my lineup, I'm going Ovi on Wednesday. That is a lineup lock. I'm also going to look at the back to the Carolina-New York game. I like both Panarin and Aho in that game, so you're not going to have a lot of cash left over after that, so that's where you got to find the value. For value, I'm looking at Ottawa Senators. Anthony Duclair has been great, so I would. That's a nice little forward lineup there.
And Davey's got the screwdriver and hammer out doing some Bob Vila work. Thank you very much for the sound effects. Davey, why don't you give us our your picks now?
Sorry about that. I think Rob's reading my notes because I have in red pen here. I want Anthony Duclair. He's got 4 goals in 5 games. I already mentioned Conley, how well he's been. Anze Kopitar, we haven't really talked about him. He's got 26 points in 20 games. He's had a couple
20
last
games.
Night. 20 games. He had a couple last night against the Islanders, so I want him at center. And goalie, I think I'm going to go with...
Against the Islanders, Davey. I mean, these late games are tripping you up, man.
He's playing the Islanders.
Okay,
is what
Davey,
I mean.
Yeah, you're causing confusion. You're okay. Causing some interference for the listeners.
Let me
just
do what
clarify.
I do best. Goalie master.
Okay,
I'm going
goalie
with,
the goalie master, Davey Satriano.
Kemper or Ranta is the goalie tomorrow against Anaheim. I think that's a sure lock, a sure win. 1 goal or a shutout. So.
Okay, very nice. Thank you, Davey. Thank you, everyone. Last thing on the agenda for this Tuesday program, as we get you ready for a Thanksgiving holiday. We hope it's a good one. The Thanksgiving hammer job of the week. I want the lock for Wednesday. The lines are not out, so we're going to have to play pretend a little bit. So keep that in mind, listeners. The lines are not out as of 11:30 a.m. Eastern on Tuesday. So we're going to have to play pretend. We're going to start with Robert. Robert, hammer job on the Wednesday.
All right. For my hammer job, I'm taking the over, which I expect to be 6.5. Carolina-New York Rangers, I think that's a 4-3 game, even maybe 5-4 if it goes to overtime. And then if you want to go crazy, get a little extra turkey and stuffing this year, I would say parlay that with the under in the Philly-Columbus game and the under in the Anaheim-Arizona game.
Nice. All over unders. That's usually a tough thing to navigate, but I like the confidence there. I think I agree about the over in the Carolina. I liked what I saw from Tony DeAngelo, to be honest. And to go back to DFS, I think that DeAngelo isn't – like, I don't know if I would roster Mika Zibanejad in his potential return, but DeAngelo brings that power play exposure. And, yeah, I would roster him for sure on DFS on defense. My hammer job of the night is Kings over Islanders. I think that that game could go to overtime if you want to place a prop like that. I think that the Kings have been playing a lot better lately. They almost came back and beat the Sharks. Quick's been playing better. They're looking more like that feared team right now with all three of their guys healthy, Quick, Kopitar, Doughty.
Very nice. I'm surprised by that Kings pick, but I'll keep an eye out on it. And when the lines come out, Kings should be dogs.
Yeah, it's home underdogs. And the Islanders are on the final game of the 3-game California trip. So
very nice.
Feeling that one.
Okay. And Davey Satriano, the screwdriver and hammer is away. So away you go.
I actually like the Kings too, but for the hammer job, I'm going with the Sharks over the Jets. But since that might not be, that might not fill the pockets, I think the Canucks are going to outright beat Pittsburgh tomorrow. And okay. I think Calgary-Buffalo's got to be way under. I can't see that. That could be 0-0 going in the shootout, I feel. So I'm going under in that game.
We forgot about that one. The Calgary Flames, their top 4 forwards right now are all falling big in our rankings.
I think a lot of people forgot about that one. But, hey, they're still going to play. It's going to be under. So,
I like the way the Calgary Flames played against Pittsburgh, but there's some distractions surrounding that team right now. So not sure what to expect from them on Wednesday.
for my hammer job, and since you guys gave out so many picks, it's hard to be different. I believe, just like Peter does, just like Robert does, and Robert gets the credit for this because he's the first one to say it, the over in the Carolina Rangers game. I just feel like that's a lock, and I believe that that should be the hammer for Wednesday.
If you were to parlay it with an outright winner, who are you taking?
Let me take a glance real quickly. Philadelphia. And did you say that?
I said the under, in that game. But I do like Philly, too.
I think Philly will beat Columbus in that game.
And I'm just looking at the slate again. We're talking about over locks. I mean, I said it a couple of shows ago. It came true. And they're playing each other again here. Colorado-Edmonton over lock to me, I think.
That's why I wouldn't take Grubauer in that game. I can never roster.
I just think they'll win.
I like that. I like the guts because it's going to be low ownership. But every time McDavid and Draisaitl are on the ice, I cannot even imagine.
That's fair.
Good new nickname, McDreidel.
McDreidel.
We're in time for Hanukkah. McDreidel?
Patent pending. That's a great nickname.
Nice.
Patent pending, McDreidel. Okay, Peter.
I like it. We couldn't find a nickname for McDavid, so we just
combined
them.
It's only
natural to combine them. So great show as always. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Enjoy it. I don't know about you guys. My dish of choice is mashed potatoes with some cheese and breadcrumbs. That's what Davey's going for.
Very nice, Davey. Yes, have a happy Thanksgiving to all you guys and, of course, the listeners, because without you, we would have nothing, and we appreciate your listenership. We appreciate your patronage, and we appreciate the reviews. We're hovering right around 200. We want to make a strong push. We would like to hit 200 by next week, and then by Christmas, 1,000 is in our sights, boys. But no, thanks very much. Continue the rate and reviews. Drop questions. Leave us voicemails. We really appreciate your engagement and, again, your listenership.
For sure. At Aircheck for Bob, at David Satriano for Davey, at NHL Reese for Robbie, at NHL Jensen for myself. Hit us up all weekend long. It'll be a long weekend of some good hockey, and we'll talk to you again next week on NHL Fantasy on Ice.